Good morning and welcome back to the last episode of the Breaking Borders podcast. My name is Zach and I'm the host for today's episode titled The Hardships Borders Come With. In today's episode, I have Jack here with me to answer a few questions that our audience has for the paper. How are you today, Jack?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me today.
Alrighty, the first question is going to be from Lauren.
In your paper, you talk about how the physical borders tend to create unpleasant living conditions. Why do you think this is the case? Can you think of any examples of these forced unpleasant living conditions that still exist today?
Thank you. I think this is the case because borders are sometimes areas where the law is more frequent, meaning there is a higher requirement for law enforcement in those areas. An example found today can be any borders that require an extensive travel process, sometimes making it very difficult to travel.
Alrighty, now to Kate with the next question.
Today, all children in the state of Texas are obligated to attend school, regardless of their citizen status, as mandated by law. Do you feel that this new development has completely broken down the physical borders to education, as you said in your essay? What are your thoughts on offering free public education to all children in the state of Texas, and how does this change the hardships, if any at all, from the time when the literature you cited was written?
Thank you, Katie. Requiring all children to attend school definitely breaks down a lot of physical borders. However, some still remain. I think requiring free public education is a must and can definitely ease a lot of the hardships talked about in my essay. By allowing a fresh education for families' children, they can create a better environment to grow up in.
Thank you very much. Our next question we have is from Connor.
Yeah, so in your paper, you discuss how some borders are created with little to no meaning. Do you think that this is true for most borders or only a select few given the right circumstances?
Thank you. I think this is only true for select borders. There are so many borders in today's world that it's hard to give a specific guess. A lot of borders are also specifically moved and redrawn for elections, where some can just be a river that happens to cross a path.
Our next question today is going to come from Clayton.
You state that some physical borders do not seem to have any purpose or reasoning behind why they are there, and that it seems arbitrary. Can you elaborate on this point, and if possible, provide an example of what this looks like either today or back in time?
Thank you, Clayton. The point I was trying to make is the same that John realizes in the reading about the border between El Paso and Mexico. Some borders were decided very long ago and can have been very different if it was decided so when it was recreated.
Okay, I believe Colby has the next question.
Okay, so in your paper, you discuss the relationship between border guards and Hispanic citizens in El Paso. Although not all racism and prejudice has gone away, it's safe to say that people do not face this treatment anymore in Texas society, whether they are illegal immigrants or not. What do you think was the cause of this shift in attitudes towards Mexican people and other Hispanics in Texas?
Thank you. I believe the shift in attitudes came with a long-time growth of the world to be more accepting or more tolerant of those coming and going from our countries.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I believe Shauna has the next question.
Your essay states, these physical borders that are set in place can sometimes be arbitrary and have little to no meaning behind why they exist. Do you think that there are still borders today that are set in place that have little to no meaning? Do you think people still suffer from borders that were decided years ago, as Ray Gonzalez did in Peace Grove?
Thank you, Shauna. Yes, I believe many borders that have been the same since their creation can be quite arbitrary, just like the one discussed by John in El Paso. Yes, I believe people still suffer around some of those borders.
Okay, our next question of the day comes from Grant.
In your paper, you discussed physical borders' impact on racial borders, such as the interaction of Ray Gonzalez with police in Peace Grove. What are some of the other impacts that physical borders can have on society?
Thank you, Grant. Similar to Ray in Peace Grove, some of the other impacts include race exclusivity around borders that only allow certain people in or out.
The next question for today is from Brianna.
In your paper, you discussed how borders create harmful living conditions for people living near the borders. Do you believe that these borders affect people that do not live near these borders, and if so, in which way?
Thank you, Brianna. These borders definitely affect the people that don't live near it. However, not necessarily in a harmful way. Borders like the ones discussed in the reading keep out people or illegally keep them in, and therefore changes the culture of those who live within.
I believe Adriana has the next question.
In your paper, you mentioned the physical borders and public schooling and the difficulties it brought relating to Fire v. Doe and the barrier not being able to attend school due to their status was not fair. Why do you think they were not able to attend school? How do you think they felt migrating to seek opportunity not able to attend school?
Thank you, Adriana. I believe they were not able to attend school in the reading because they were not legal citizens of the U.S. Migrating and realizing this obstacle must have been pretty awful, felt pretty awful, especially when coming to the land opportunity. They expect a new opportunity to get a better education. They don't get it.
All righty. Now to Kamsey for another question.
Unfortunately, Kamsey is not here today, but he did ask a question, so I'm going to read it. In your essay, you touched on the topic of physical borders relating to public schooling for immigrants in Texas at this time. Do you believe that these kinds of borders created a generation bubble around these families that forced them to a particular lifestyle and opportunities, not just for them and their kids, but their grandkids?
Thank you. At some of these readings, yes. The generations who were denied schooling were not allowed a proper education and therefore cannot be sent out into the real world without proper knowledge.
Okie dokie, and now for the final question of the day and for our podcast. It's going to come from me. In your paper, you talked about borders within public schools. Do you think these borders still remain? And what forces do you think have changed these borders over time?
Thank you for the last question. I think these borders still remain, although they have become less severe over time due to the requirement of all children in public school now. It is lessened down, therefore, and they are allowed to have a better education for their future generation.
Thank you so much. Well, that's all the questions that we have for you today, Jack. Thank you to everyone who came out and asked all of these amazing questions to our author. Thank you, Jack, for being willing to answer these questions so well. And we thank you to our wonderful and faithful listeners. We hope you enjoyed this series. We are thankful for the opportunity to be able to share our thoughts on the borders that exist within the great state of Texas.
Our team here at Breaking Borders Podcast would like to thank our audience for coming out and asking these questions to our guest author. We would also like to say a special thank you to Dr. Fletcher for providing us with the readings that were featured in this week's podcast. Also, we would like to thank our guest author one more time for being willing to come out and answer these questions on this week's episode. Make sure you tune in every Friday as we will have a different author talking about their take on the borders. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening.